Well, it's lovely to be with you today. It's an honor to come into your homes with the Word of God. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about worship today, because the good news is the church is slowly moving towards meeting again. So in September, we're meeting for people who have been living by themselves or living within a non-Christian bubble, or people who have found it quite challenging and testing to be by themselves outside church during this lockdown. And why are we meeting? It's because God spoke to me and he said, times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord. And so we're coming together to come into his presence. So I'm just quite excited about that, because I am believing God that as we sit and worship in his presence, then he will refresh us by the presence of his Holy Spirit. And so I want you to pray for us as we start to reset the church and look at the church. And we'll give you more information as we go along. Things will be different. For a start, we won't be singing. But did you notice I said we're coming back to worship, not to sing? There'll just be one singer. The person leading worship will sing. And so in the Bible, it says that we should sing, or it talks about singing over 200 times in the Bible. And so singing is a real part of who we are, what God's created us to be, to sing to him. And the Psalms instructs us numerous times to sing to him. And so you can continue to do that. You can do it outside. You can do it at home. And I would encourage you to sing to the Lord, to sing a new song to God, to sing praise to him. But during church, we're not going to be doing that. We will be resting in his presence, worshiping him from our heart. You know, worship, it talks about worship over 180 times in the Bible. So you've got singing 200, worship 180. This is a big part of who we are as the body of Christ. We are here to worship the Lord. And I want to speak just for a few minutes from John chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, I will take you to a very familiar passage of scripture about the woman at the well with Jesus. So John chapter 4. Verse 16, we'll start there. Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you've said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem it's the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here where the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So we have this passage of scripture where through words of knowledge, Jesus reveals the secrets of this woman's heart. And she goes, "I perceive you're a prophet." I guess anybody who did that to you, you'd think, "Oh my goodness, there's something supernatural about this encounter." But God does that. He reveals the secrets of our hearts so that we open our hearts to him. He doesn't do it to reveal shame or sin, but so that we will open our hearts and we'll respond to him, as this woman did. And she said, "We worship at this mountain," and that's Mount Gerizim, is where the Samaritans used to worship. "And you worship in Jerusalem." And she had worship down to where, the place of worship, the physical geographical place. And Jesus said this. He said in response to this that an hour's coming when we're neither going to worship at the mountain nor in Jerusalem. Worship wasn't going to be about a place anymore. The true worshippers. Okay, do you want to be a true worshipper of God? The true worshippers will worship in spirit and in truth. They will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And we, being the true worshippers of God, we need to worship him in spirit, from our hearts, from our spirit, and in the truth and revelation of who he is to us. So we worship him in spirit and in truth. And then it says this, God is seeking such people to worship him. So God is looking for me and you, and he's looking for others to worship him in spirit and in truth. That is what the Father is looking for from his church, is that we would worship him again. Do you know, the devil may try and take away our song because he's stopping us singing corporately, but we can still come in his presence and we can still worship him in spirit and in truth. And that word worship, you've heard me say it if you're in this church many times, that word worship is a particular word. It's a compound Greek word, proskuneo. And the word means pros, come close to, kuneo, kiss. So when we think about worship, Jesus is using the word that come close and kiss me. Come close and kiss. So it speaks of heart response, my heart coming close to him and having intimacy with the Father by kissing him. So that's the picture painted. Now, Jesus says here in verse 24, God is spirit. So I can kiss my wife, I can kiss my children, but what I can't do is kiss God, because God is spirit. But it's the picture painted. God is saying that he wants your spirit to open up to him and to come close to him in adoration, in love, and is in intimacy, that we would open our hearts to God and tell God from our the bottom of our hearts that we love him, we honor him, we worship him. And God is looking for worship like that. That is, it's not formularized. It's not worship by doing things. It's worship by opening my heart and saying to God, God, I want to come close to you and I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And God is wanting you to do that, is go to the Father and say, Father, I love you. Father, I honor you. Father, I just live for you. You know, when a husband and wife get married, they swap vows and they promise to honor each other, to love each other, to become one together. And God is saying to us in many respects that he wants to be one with his church. He wants us to have intimacy with him and to love him. Now, where do I start? How do I start with proskuneo, to come close and kiss? Well, we're not actually going to kiss God, okay? That's the first thing. But it's the picture it paints, the picture of somebody coming close. If you read the Song of Solomon, you have a picture of Jesus and the church, and Jesus saying to come away with me, come away with me, my love. That's what God wants us to do, is to shut off all the busyness of the life and just come away and worship him. Do you know, Psalm 100 verse 4 says this, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. And I think, where do I start? Well, I start by turning my heart towards him. And if I take Psalm 100, the instruction there, I enter his gates with thanksgiving. So we have so much to be thankful for. You know, the very breath in our bodies we need to thank God for. But let's give thanks for what he does. Let's give thanks for how he's sustained us. Let's give thanks for how he's provided for us. Let's give thanks that he doesn't give us what we deserve, but he treats us with mercy and grace. You know, Psalm 103 says, forgetting none of his benefits, who forgives all my sins. You know, let's give thanks that he forgives our sins, who lifts me out of the pit and raises me up. Let's give thanks that, where would I be if it wasn't for him? Let's give thanks and then let's praise him. Praise him. Just praise him. Sing our hallelujah to him. And let's give thanks and bless his name and think about his name. And what I am doing is I am turning my heart towards him in truth. I am thanking him. I'm praising him. I'm blessing him. And I'm saying, God, you're my all in all. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. Do you know, sometimes I just thank God that I'm still here. Sometimes I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God for what he's going to do in my life. I thank him that he's called me according to his purposes. I thank him for, you know, just the little things in life that he blesses me with. I thank him for the life that he gives me. But, you know, It takes a determined spirit to say, every day I want to thank you. And then in the mornings, you know, as I wake up, every morning I am trying to rededicate my life to him and say, I love you, I worship you, I give you my life. I want to serve your purposes in my life. And you know, as we all do that together, what we'll find is we'll be uplifted by his presence and his affirmation to his children. So I'm just going to close by praying, and then I look forward to seeing you soon. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that you are so good to us. We want to thank you that your steadfast love endures forever. We want to thank you that you show mercy and faithfulness and grace towards us. And Father, we praise you. You are just so wonderful to us. And Father, I pray that you would cause us to grow into just more and more a worshiping church. In Jesus' name, amen.